What is up, everybody? Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of For What It's Worth with Wes Hoffman. Truly appreciate it. This episode is with my dear friend, Tony Trezzolino from Tired Radio. I loved recording this episode. I hope that you guys enjoy it half as much as I enjoyed recording it and putting it together. Because I absolutely love Tony and the guys in Tired Radio. This is long overdue. They haven't been, nobody from Tired Radio has been on my podcast before. So very, very stoked to have Tony. He's a great guy. And we talk about all kinds of different stuff. We had a bunch of people send in comments and questions on Instagram. So we talk a little bit about that. We talk about his journey in as a musician, their songwriting process, their new music that's coming out with Red Scare, just all kinds of stuff. So it's a really fun episode. It was just, I don't know, I hope it's as fun to listen to as it was to record, like I said. So make sure to follow Tired Radio. It's Tired_radio. If you follow us on Instagram, you'll see it. We have a post with them in it. I also wanted to ask, if you like this podcast, please give it a rating on whatever podcast app you use. Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Stitcher, Spotify, whatever. Please give us a rating and please follow us. That would be very helpful. So those are little things that you can do to just kind of help boost our visibility and get our name out there a little bit. Share it with somebody. If you like it, share it with a friend that you think might think it's funny or entertaining or interesting. You know, that'd be great as well. And if you do like the music that comes on in this podcast, that is my band, Wes Hoffman and Friends. Look us up wherever you listen to music. It's just Wes Hoffman. Look it up. That song's called For What It's Worth. We have a new album out. You can get it at our web store, which is in the liner notes for this episode. So enough plugs. Thank you so much for your support. We have had a boost in listeners. This podcast is growing, and I'm super thankful for that. Thank you to all of you for listening. I have an episode coming up next week with a band called World's Greatest Dad out of Atlanta, Georgia. I'm really looking forward to that episode as well. Haven't recorded it yet, but it is on the way. So look for that next week if you're into like kind of emo rock type stuff. It's good stuff. So thank you so much. Enjoy this episode with Tony from Tired Radio.
For what it's worth, I love you now. I think about you.
All right. I'm so excited for this episode. So Tony Trezzolino from Tired Radio. How are you, brother?
Dude, it's so good to see you. I'm doing okay, man. Yeah, we're having a crazy, crazy storm rolling through Philly right now. And I was actually worried that we might lose power over here. I got a tree that's like, looks like it's on the brink of falling onto the power line. So if I cut out,
I'll know.
Yeah,
I'll know what happened. Yeah, we just had a crazy storm roll through here in St. Louis too. It just ended. But yeah, it was like heavy rain for like a solid 30 minutes. So
yeah, it's been like almost every day here, dude. I feel like I'm in Florida or something.
Yeah.
Where like a storm will roll through for an hour or two and then it'll be nice out again. But yeah, it's crazy.
It's wild, man. It's wild. Well, I'll definitely, we'll have to reschedule if something happens. I hope you stay safe though. So
yeah, thanks, man. Let's hope we can make it through.
Okay, I'm going to start off by reading some of these. I posted on Instagram today what questions people have for you.
Yes.
And I got way more than I expected.
I expected to get none, but that's cool.
Okay, the first one comes from our friend James Rundle from Something Bitter. It's Something Bitter, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Not a question, just a statement. We're all fucking proud of you, dude.
That's very, very sweet. Thank you, James, from the band Something Better, which is an inside joke. We played a show recently, and on the marquee, it said, like, Goodbye Blue Monday, Tired Radio, and Something Better. And we, you know, I busted their balls for a while on that. So, but that's very awesome. Very yes. sweet. Thank you.
I can hear it in his British accent, saying it in his British accent too. So.
Yeah, exactly.
okay, this I'm only gonna read a couple from Murphy Grade.
Oh God, Bill. Okay, yeah.
Bill Murphy, the pride of Long Island, New York. I love you, big guy.
I love you too, big guy.
what are we doing for Tired Radio Day 2026?
Yeah, that's a big day. Everybody's familiar with Tired Radio Day. What the fuck is Tired? Can I curse on this podcast?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
What the fuck is Tired Radio Day 2026?
I have no idea.
Bill, that's on you to plan. Pick. You could. I mean, oh, you know, he's probably referring to June 22nd. I have a line in a song, Mostly Downs, where I say it's June 22nd. And, you know, I just played an acoustic show this past June 22nd. I think I might have referred to it as Tired Radio Day. So, yeah, maybe I do have to plan something for June 22nd, 2026. But I currently can't decide what to eat for dinner after this podcast. So one fucking life decision at a time.
That's all right. I want to be there. Whatever happens, I want to know what happens.
Yeah, dude,
and I want to be
let's make that a pact now. June 22nd, 2026, whether it's a show or whatever, a hang. Let's try and be together.
Absolutely. That would be great. That would be great. Nate Durazzo from Dial Drive says, give Tony a big hugs, a big Bugs Bunny kiss from Dial Drive.
All right, well, Wes, let me get that kiss, buddy. Ooh, I'm tingling. Thank you.
Okay, so from Kev. Oh shoot, hold on, I did something to my from Kevin Drums Daily, who's in seven bands right now.
Yeah.
Oh shoot, where'd they go? Hold on. Where did his go? Oh, there were so many. Okay, he says, one big guy plus one small guy equals two medium guys. True or false?
That is factual. Yeah, that's algebra. That checks out.
Okay. All right. So now we can kind of transition into the more serious ones here.
All right.
So our drummer, has retinue, and then this will transition into our conversation. So I'm trying to be a good host by doing this.
You're doing great, man. I'm stressing out because I know that I'm looking at, like, it says, like, meeting 40 minutes. And I'm like, oh, God. Like, the time constriction and the fact that I like to babble, they go against each other.
No, that I like the time constriction because it makes me, like, not go for 2 hours.
yeah, I could do the same. I guess my big thing is it's so good to see. I haven't seen you, and I want to catch up with you.
I know. No, dude, totally. Me too. Okay, do you keep in touch with the psychic in St. Louis?
Do I keep in touch? No, absolutely not. haven't kept in touch with them at all. That will be my short answer.
Okay. it was at Fortune Teller Bar, right?
That was at Fortune Teller Bar, yeah. During a tough period of my life, and that was not a, that psychic took my money and took me for a ride, and that was all bullshit. So I know Fortune Teller Bar closed down, and I don't know if they're reopened yet.
I don't know. I haven't been there in so long.
Okay. I think last time we went through St. Louis, they were closed down for renovations or something. But if they're open, I hope they, and they're listening, I hope they got a new psychic over there.
okay. So now we'll get into more. On that same note, what inspired you to make the Patterns album? Very lyrically, it's extremely relatable. And that comes from M.KYS.
Awesome. Good question. Patterns is kind of where Tired Radio started. Like, that was the big. What inspired me was deep depression. That's been with me my whole life. But the spiral that started Patterns was a breakup with a girl that I thought I was going to spend my life with, and a sudden end to that. And then I kind of found myself just kind of catatonic and not going to work. I worked as an independent contractor, so I had the choice if I wanted to go, and I wasn't getting out of bed. And I said, like, I need something to get me through this. And I had some demos on my computer that were kind of half finished. And then I decided that the thing that was going to get me through this depression was fully finishing those demos. So that was the start of Patterns. And yeah, hope that answers that
question. Hell yeah. Oh, no, absolutely, dude. I think that's great. I mean, I think you and I have a similar story where, okay, that's all I'm going to do from Instagram, because I think you just answered one of the questions and the rest of them were funny, but
yeah. a lot of funny guys out there.
Right. Right. But we just don't have time to read them all on the podcast. That could be like, if I had a Patreon, that could be like a bonus content, you know?
Well, maybe we'll just have to do another one, part two of these.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I think you and I have like a similar story, and we've talked about this before when we've played shows together and stuff. It's like, you know, I think sometimes in the darkest moments is when like the most inspiration hits, because it's like, as a musician and as a songwriter, like I have to get this music out. It's like a form of therapy for us, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so for I definitely sure, dude. I mean, hear you to quote one of my favorite songwriters, in my darkest hour is where I found my power. I mean, that you know, that should sum it up right there. But yeah, absolutely, dude. I mean, I think, you know, I'm so grateful that heartbreak triggered this thing. I don't know that Tired Radio exists. So, I mean, I did release like two singles while I was in that relationship in like 2017 as Tired Radio, but it wasn't a band. It wasn't something that I thought would ever, like, it was just something that I was doing for myself. And so was Patterns. I mean, I didn't expect a single person to give a shit about that record, but you know, I don't think Patterns would have gotten finished or would have been a thing if it wasn't for that. I think I probably Tired Radio would have been those two singles and maybe ended there, or maybe won another single at some point, but it wasn't something that I was investing myself into like I did after that breakup. So yeah, sometimes it takes tragedy to you know, get you going.
yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's so much easier to write about the tough stuff that you're going through in life. And like, you know, sometimes I'm like, you know, it's just for whatever reason, like those songs are just, they come out a little bit easier. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, yeah. I've written a bunch of songs like, cause you know, I went through like a really tough time too. And like now I have my life's back where I want it to be. And I have an awesome girlfriend and like, you know, I've written a bunch of songs about her and stuff like that, but it's like, it's harder for me to write a song about feeling good than it is about like, you know, the tough stuff that you're going through. And I like Dashboard Confessional is like a perfect example. Like he was going through a huge breakup when he wrote all his like early stuff. And then when his music like blew up, it was like all, you know, positive, like, you know, love songs. And for me, I was kind of like, dude, I related way more to like, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about people like us. I mean, I struggle even, you know, I'm not always miserable at all times, but like, you know, we have 5 Day Bender, which is a happy song. And I've been trying to dig in to the old songwriting pouch in my belly and pull out another kind of happy song. Especially at this point in my life. The weird thing is we're about to release this new record that was written like really at the darkest point of my existence. And the whole record, I'm nervous for people to hear it because it's like all of the dark parts of Tired Radio and none of the levity. It's very heavy, both musically and lyrically. And but, you know, we wrote it a couple years ago now. And
yeah.
I'm at a point in my life at this current time, and you know, I understand that this can change, but things are pretty okay.
Yeah.
At the moment, things are pretty okay. And so listening to this record, it's hard to listen to because I'm like, wow, like this was a time.
Yeah.
But I hope that my main thing with this record is I hope that it inspires anyone that is feeling really, 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 really low to keep going, because, you know, I could have gave up, and I was the closest I've ever been to giving up on life through some of this time that I wrote this record, and I'm glad I didn't. But yeah, it's interesting, dude. I mean, my body naturally, I've suffered depression since I was like 7 years old is when I officially was kind of diagnosed. But so I think that's where, like, you know, when I go to write a song, it just pulls from there. It pulls from the pain. It's easier to pull from the pain than it is from, you know, other things. I'm trying to write a song about my girlfriend, and I'm just like, I mean, I love you so much, but I don't know. Yeah. This isn't who I am. You know, it just feels icky.
Yeah. No, dude, I think people can relate to that stuff, and I think people need to know, need to hear that stuff. Like, they need to hear exactly what you said. Like, hey, times get really tough, but like, please keep going. And, you know, I was talking to my girlfriend, not too long ago about how, like, you know, that's something that I really like aspire to do with my music too. And not just like with the music, but when people come to shows, like, I want it to be the one time where everybody can just like let loose and let's sing the songs together. Let's scream at the top of our lungs and, like,
yeah,
you know, and just like have a moment together of presence and not worry about anything outside of like the four walls that we're in right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. And I, you know, we did a little run together, and I think you do it well. You know, I mean, I think both of our bands are good at creating that space. I mean, our music is so heavy that we try to do the same thing live, is like, you know, make it more of a quote unquote party, but yeah, just like, you know, yeah, let's scream our pain out together and let's make it fun.
Absolutely.
Because once you leave the show, you know, you go back to fucking life, and that can be hard.
It can. And you don't know what people are dealing with, you know, like, yeah, everybody's dealing with something. So, well, tell me about the new, the new song, Your Great Escape, yes, on Red Scare Industries. Congratulations. Big fan. Thank you. Of them. I knew something was going on with you guys and like your music, because you hadn't released anything in a while, and I knew you had this record, and I was like, I bet they're working with a new label, and I wanted to text you and ask you about it so bad. But I didn't. I held back.
You can always text me for the inside scoop.
So, but I do hear a little bit of I know you're a big Goo Goo Dolls fan, and I do hear a little bit of that on the chorus when you're like, hey, where are you gonna go, you know?
Dude, it's so funny. This dude at the Brooklyn show, Austin, he like came up to me and he was like, yo, did you steal that chorus from John Mellencamp? Like, yeah, life goes on. And I was like, motherfucker, no, first off, but now I'll never unhear that, you know? But yeah. I mean, dude, here's the thing about Tired Radio that I find funny, and this has been said to me, you know, from multiple people, and it's like, yeah, we got washed in by the current into the punk scene, and we, you know, by all means, we are all, you know, we belong there, we're punks, this is community, I love this community, but a lot of our songs are like radio rock arena,
yeah,
ready song, you know what I mean? Like, they're not, like, of course you hear the Goo Goo Dolls in there, because I'm just like, I write pop songs. It's like what I do. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, there, especially on the newer record, there are some like big ass fucking choruses that, you know, you could definitely hear on like a rock radio station on terrestrial radio, you know what I mean?
Sure.
It would fit right at you could be on the car listening to like Goo Goo Dolls Slide, and then all of a sudden, and here's the next single from Tired Radio, Your Great Escape, and you wouldn't even bat an eye. You'd be like, oh yeah, this fits in.
Yeah.
So yeah, for sure.
No, I totally agree. So you I talked about this before, and since I know a little bit about the history of Tired Radio, you guys, so it started, then it was just you, right?
Yeah.
And then Kevin came along with and played drums on Patterns, right?
Yep.
And so now with the EP that you guys put out and with this new record, was that a different type of writing process? Like, did you kind of write the structure and the skeletons of the songs and then bring them to the guys and say, hey, you know, put your parts to this? Or like, how did it change along the way?
Yeah, we're definitely figuring that out as we go still, because this started as a solo project, and then, you know, I brought Kevin in, and then that changed the trajectory of things and the way I write. And then for these songs, for the EP and the LP, so we recorded the EP and the LP that's about to come out all at the same time, actually. So we went in with the intention of making one record, and then we had like 17 or 18 songs, and we just couldn't cut. We were like, I like them all, you know, let's not cut any of them. So we decided to split them up into an EP and an LP. So the writing process was a lot, I would say 90, probably 85 to 90% of the stuff was still written by me, with this being the first time on both the EP and the LP that Chris started sprinkling in his own solos and, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of my direction. Still, a lot of the leads were, written by me in the demos. But then, I'll bring, this fully fleshed product to the guys. But if they come up with a better idea, if Chris is like, well, I came up with this, I'm like, well, fuck my idea. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, and a lot of my bass parts that I'll come up with are just very root note-y.
Sure.
But then Jay will do something cool. He plays his 5-string bass, and he'll throw some razz in there. So he'll write his own stuff. He mostly writes his own stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think every Tide Radio record is going to be different, especially as we're figuring it out. Even the stuff that we've written now, the stuff that we've written after the stuff that hasn't come out yet, the newer stuff we've been writing, that's been the most group efforty so far. That's been more, I'm coming in, instead of coming in with a fully fleshed out song, I'm coming in with just an idea, maybe a verse and a chorus with just my rhythm guitar and vocals, and then kind of letting the guys riff on that. So I think, on especially on the next batch of songs that are going to come after this new album, will be a lot more of, you know, hearing the guys on there for sure. But things like that solo in Down in Flames, you know, that was all I told him the feel I wanted, and then he would just kind of riff something. I'd be like, oh fuck. So the first part of that was great. And then the second part, I'm hearing and then he's so good, he would just play exactly that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. He's a great guitarist.
Oh, he's unbelievable. We're a yin and a yang, man. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, and he is a prodigy. Some guy came up to us in Brooklyn. He was like, in theory, your band should not work, but somehow it does. He was like, this guy's over here, he's the greatest guitarist I've ever seen. And, you know, I'm over here just kind of trying to get through some cowboy chords without fucking it up. But yeah, it works for our band. I don't know why or how, but it definitely works. And he's such an asset to have in the band. In the title track to the record, he does this thing in the bridge. I was like, Chris, I don't want to write words here. I just want the guitar to evoke, just make it feel crazy, you're having a panic attack, you know? And he just did this thing that I still to this day can't figure out how he even does it. But it's insane. It doesn't even sound like a guitar. It sounds like a synthesizer or something.
Wow.
And I was like, you're going to be able to pull that off live? And he's like, no problem. And I'm like, all right, dude. But it's almost so crazy that we were like, we had to have a band debate about it. That we were like, are we really going to keep that in there? And then we decided fuck it. Let's just keep it in.
Yeah. So, dude, I can't wait to hear it. I'm so stoked to hear new Tire. I've listened to your stuff you know, when Patterns came out during COVID, I listened to that. I would go on really long walks and I would listen to that multiple times through. And then you know, the EP that you guys put out, we were all really And that was right around the time you guys put that out, we were touring together with you guys, and we were all like super, super into it. So we're all big Tired Radio fans here in the Wes Hoffman and Friends camp. So
and it's the same goes for us, man. I mean, we love you, dude. And literally, like, I wake up with your songs in my head so often, and it's like, I don't know. You write, you have a good pop hook sensibility.
Thanks, man.
Like, those songs are so catchy.
I worked on that a lot because I was like, I want to write songs that if you heard it one time through, you would want to sing it. So if we come to your town and you have no idea who we are and you came to the show, like, I want people to leave with the feeling of like, oh, I kind of know their songs now, and I want to go listen to them, you know, or buy their records so I can really get to know the songs, you know. But that's also the kind of music that I like too, like, you know. Right. So
yeah, for sure, dude.
So tell me, okay, so you, when I booked a show for you guys here in St. Louis, like, I think that was back in 2022, when you guys came through. Yeah, and maybe 2020, no, it was 2022, I'm pretty sure. It was when you guys did that really long tour.
I think that was 2022,
And you said at the end, you were like, you know, at the end of your set, you're like, follow your dreams, because, like, you know, you picked up a guitar 5 years ago. And had you not been playing music your whole life, or did you just kind of, like, you know, a few years ago, you know, start doing all this? And, you know, when did you really start focusing on music?
No, I mean, I've been playing music since I was like 8. I think I was a drummer. I played percussion. I took drum lessons when I was like 8 or 9. I played drums in band. I played marching band percussion, jazz band percussion. So then my first actual band was like a black metal band, actually. I played drums for, we were called Earthshift, and I was either 13 or 14 years old. I was just telling this story to my girlfriend the other day about, like, they were trying out new drummers, and we were on like AOL or whatever, and they were like, the lead dude in the band was like, what kind of metal do you like? And he gave me like a list of like Korn, System of a Down, Slipknot, or then he gave me this other list of like Megadeth, Pantera, and I was in the Korn, Slipknot side. So I told him, and he absolutely literally hated me right off the jump. He was like, you're not ever gonna be in this band, you know, you're a pussy, that's fake metal. And the other guys in the band were like, come on, let him try out, I heard he's a good drummer. And at the time, I was waiting on a drum set to come in the mail, and it didn't come yet. And like, I ended up going, I tried out on a green lawn chair. I just like played along to the songs on a lawn chair, and I guess I was so good that they were like, all right, fuck, this guy's in the band now. So yes, that was my first band, Earthshift, and then I did some other little things. All this time, my friends were into punk, pop punk, Blink-182 type pop punk, and I never really got into that stuff. Still to this day, I don't really. This will get me excommunicated maybe, but I'm not like a Blink-182 fan. There's a couple songs I like, but I never really got into that.
Sure.
But they loved that shit, and they had a band called Slim to None, and they were my best friends, and I just wanted to be in that band so bad, dude. Like, so badly. And then one day at practice, the singer quit, and I was like, I'll sing for you guys. I had never sang for a band before, and I invited them over to my house, and I tried out by singing Fuel, Hemorrhage. Lead my bleeder in my hands, like that's super cheesy. But it's really funny to think back, because that's always been my voice, is like this kind of fucking cheesy metal shit. But at the time, like, I don't know, like, I wasn't listening to like raspy style punk, like, you know, to me. Anyway, I got the job because they didn't know anyone else that would sing for them. And then I just kind of was trying to emulate other more like nasally pop punk singers, I guess. Like, I didn't actually sing with my rasp, which is where my natural voice really kind of lives. I was, so needless to say, I was a terrible singer. but we were the talk of the town in our neighborhood. Like, our high school band was like all the rage. Like, everyone loved to come out and see us. I think it was more our stage presence was pretty apeshit.
Okay.
You never knew it. I'd be hanging from rafters and
oh hell yeah,
was always like doing flips and shit. And we were a fun band to go see. Were we good? I would say absolutely not. Objectively, we were bad, but we were a fun band to go see. And so that was from like 15 to 20, 21 is when we finally called it quits. And then that kind of just broke my heart because, I don't know, it was like a relationship ending.
Yeah.
These were my five best friends, and that scene was everything to me. And then I continued playing music throughout my 20s, just not really in bands. Like, every now and then I'd like jam with friends or something. I guess I always felt I didn't play guitar, so it was either drums or I played piano or I would sing, but I started being not good at drums anymore. I'm a mediocre at best piano player, and I have a, you know, I'm not a great singer. So I never felt confidence to play with other people. It was easy with my best friends because they were my friends. But, you know, when I would jam up, I met up with like some people from Craigslist once, and I just felt like uncomfortable. I was trying out to sing for their band, and they put me on the spot. They were like, here, make up some words to this. And just played some shit, and I kind of just froze.
Oh,
and I didn't
yeah.
sing anything. And, you know, I just like, I don't know. So it was a lot of feeling uncomfortable around other people. And then, yeah, really, I'll be honest, this band is canceled. But Beach Slang, when I heard Beach Slang.
I do like Beach Slang. I didn't know, I didn't know they were canceled.
I don't know. Don't get me started. But those first two Beach Slang EPs, when I heard them, they just like punched me in the fucking face, dude. Like, I was always listening to punk and stuff, but at that time I stopped like discovering new punk bands. Like, I really found myself down like this like indie rabbit hole in my 20s. Yeah, I moved to Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and I wore a fedora, and I found myself like really being into, you know, I was DJing, and like it was a weird time. But I always listened to the punk that I grew up on and the emo that I'm more of an emo kid, but the punk and emo that I grew up on. But then Beach Slang, just like, I don't know, they brought me, I was like, oh fuck, punk is alive and well. And it just got me right back, brought me right back into the punk scene, and it inspired me. I was like, I want to write my own songs. Like James inspired, I don't know what it was, but I was like, I want to do this. I think it was because he was like not that good, you know, like, and he was writing these incredible songs, and he wasn't a very good guitarist either. And I was like, well, I could pick up a guitar and learn it and write songs. And that's what I did. And it's really all thanks to that band, you know, like inspiring me to do that. That's when that started. I think it was 2016, around the end of 2016, I bought like a $200 Les Paul from Guitar Center.
Yeah.
And then I just started fucking around, playing power chords and just like writing, and the rest is history.
Dude, I really think that's all. First of all, now that you mentioned Beach Slang, I can hear that in patterns quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like Beach Slang to me always had kind of like a haze around it. Yeah. Like, it's really good music to listen to when you smoke weed. Like,
oh, for sure.
and I feel the same way about when I'm talking about like me going on super long walks. Like, I smoked a bunch of weed before I went on those walks, and then I turn your on patterns and listen to it. So it's like, it's just like the perfect, I don't know if it's like I had the haze or what, but but it feels like it has this haze. It feels hazy to me. Okay, so we've got 7 minutes and 45 seconds. So,
oh my god,
I know.
Well, I think this has gone well so far. I'm like really raining. I've listened to your podcast before, and I know that it's on a time crunch. And I was like, okay, I can't do my normal thing of just rambling on. So I've been trying to rein it in.
Yeah, no, dude, I appreciate it, and I like to keep it at the time crunch just because. It'll go forever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
And I feel like 40 minutes is a good like time for a podcast, where it's like you know, if it's a 3-hour podcast, when am I going to have 3 hours to listen to it straight through? You know what I mean? But 40 minutes, like, that's a workout. That's like some time, sure. You know, so
especially with attention spans.
It is. So tell me a little bit about, I remember we were in Chicago. It was our first date of our tour that we did together. And we were talking about labels. And my band was getting ready to put our record out with Jumpstart. And you guys were like working with a different label at the time. And now we're both working with different labels, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot of my friends, like yourself included, but a lot of other bands that I'm friends with, like, I'm seeing a lot of people just grow and like make different moves. So
isn't
how
it
did,
beautiful? Yeah,
it's really cool.
You.
It is really
great
cool
to see the homies come up.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, the Humanities like doing stuff with Thousand Island and Sell the Heart now.
Yeah,
like, you know, it's really cool. So how did, I'm interested in knowing though, how did all of that come about? I've been a big Red Scare fan for a while now. So
I'll be honest, dude, because that's who I am. I mean, I think it's all about making connections in life, especially in this industry. Like, Red Scare would not have happened based solely on our music. In fact, I'd be willing to bet that Toby doesn't even like our music. It's really not. It's not even like very Red Scary material. And he's said that. I read somewhere he wrote something on like some blog. Like, yeah, it's not really typical Red Scare fare. But I think the big thing is like a lot of we made friends with a lot of Red Scare bands. I did a lot of touring. I filled in playing guitar with this band Uber U, and we went on tour with No Trigger, who's, you know, best friends with Toby. And I remember at like 3 a.m, drunk in Germany, Tom from No Trigger was like texting Toby.
I know Tom,
You gotta sign Tired Radio. And then Tom looked at me and he's like, this is how things happen. And I was like, so cool. But, you know, and like the guys from Make War are really good friends, and I, you know, they were pulling for us. And I think Toby just like got sick of people saying sign Tired Radio. And so eventually he just kind of caved and did it. So really, I think our signing to Red Scare, because Toby doesn't really sign new bands. Like, it's not, he's not actively like, you know, most labels are out there like trying to find new talent. Like, Toby's kind of not. We just kind of got, you know, we got lucky with enough people annoying him to put our record out.
Dude, well, that's awesome, man. I think it's a good fit for you guys. Like, even though, you know, like bands like Tightwire, that kind of have that, you know, I or like Bull Weevils, and those are like both Midwest bands, and I'm from the Midwest. Like, you know, I think that like, yeah, your music's a little bit different, but it still fits with like the crowd that likes Red Scare's type of music.
100%. I don't think we're so far out of the box that Red Scare community is going to be like, who the fuck is this? And in fact, it's been the opposite. I mean, everybody. I'm shocked I haven't seen one negative comment yet. Like, you know, because Red Scare, some Red Scare listeners tend to be like a tough crowd, you know.
Sure.
But they've, you know, everyone's been super kind. We announced the signing, and like we sold like a fuck ton of records.
Oh, that's awesome!
Bandcamp, like, so it's been great, dude. I think it's a good matrimony. It's a good fit. And I think, you know, Toby, I think Red Scare could also benefit from having our band on there, you know, kind of something a little different, a little, you know, newer. It couldn't hurt, you know what I mean?
Totally. No, dude, I totally agree. And I, what you said, you know, and I've talked about this a lot on the podcast too, is like, I do think that the music industry, it's all about just like your network and making connections and growing that network. And, you know, for us, like when we signed with Spam, it was like, in my mind, I always thought that it would be this big moment where like somebody's like, hey, I want to make you a deal. You know, you kids, you guys are the best in town. You know, I'm going to make you a star. And it's like, it's literally like, you send them their stuff and they send you an email and they're like, yeah, we want to put this out. It's like,
yeah,
no,
I mean, we were almost record label mates, dude. I mean, we were talking to Spam, the dude Stefan.
Yeah, Stefan.
He answered, I sent the record to him a while ago, and he's like, I like this. What's your plan for the record? And I told him, and then I never heard from him again. Oh. So, you know, no hard feelings. I get it. But we were almost, you know, legal mates. But also, I'm not sure if I actually – I mean, I think I did on the internet. But face-to-face here, congratulations.
Yo.
That's big. I've actually heard a couple of the songs off of your new record.
Yeah.
I was with a little birdie who had the record, and they played a couple. And wow. I mean, you guys have grown quite a bit, and it's incredible. And I'm excited for everyone to hear your new shit, too.
Thanks, man. Dude, I'm going to send it you the whole thing after this is over.
So. Oh, I'd love that, Wes. That'd be
cool. I would love for you to hear it. So,
yeah.
Well, dude, we've got a minute and 30 left. I just want to say thanks for doing this, man. It's so great to see your face. It's great to talk to you. I wish it were longer.
We'll have to chat outside of the podcast.
We will. We missed you in Philly and New York last time. We were
terrible,
just there 2 months
terrible
ago.
Timing,
so.
Terrible timing, man. Terrible timing.
But yeah, and congratulations to you too, man. I'm stoked to hear the rest of your record. And this won't be the last you'll see me, and it'll be sooner than later that next time.
Amazing. So. Thanks, buddy. I'm going to reach out to you after we get off here because I got some show things to discuss with you.
Oh, absolutely.
But thank you for having me on, man. This is awesome, and it was
you great, bet, dude.
Great to see you.
All right. Much love. Talk to you soon.
Love you, bud. Bye-bye.
Bye.